I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yes or no? Did you ever take banned substances to enhance your cycling performance?
Yes.
I had no prior knowledge of the planned assault on Nancy Kerrigan.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Oops the Podcast. I'm Francis, joined by Julio. How are you?
Yo, 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 dude. How you doing?
Good. I'm all right. Recovering a little.
Yeah?
You were shoving tequila drinks down my throat last night.
I really get a lot of satisfaction out of the heavy pour.
Yeah, they got heavier and heavier.
Dude, you know me, bro.
By the third one you handed me, I felt like I was eating the drink.
You know me, dog.
You know where you have to sort of grind your teeth to get through it? That's how much tequila you put in that thing.
So a little backstory. Last night ended up turning into somewhat of a dinner party. So the way it started, Ashley Heseltine, our good pal, and I had a show together. So I invited her over for drinks before. Myself and Hillary and Francis and his girl have been meaning to do a dinner together as well. So literally like right after I made that plan, your girl and Hillary were texting and they're like, oh, we're like, all right, let's do it. And then we were like, we can't not invite Raina. So now it just becomes this big dinner party. So we're like, all right, dope.
And Raina brought her boyfriend,
which we didn't actually know. We didn't know that he was coming.
Oh, right. Boy.
No, that's something worth talking about. Raina has carte blanche. She's allowed to do that. It's not a big deal at all.
Is that because she has so many followers on Instagram?
No, it's because, I mean, dude, that's not why. It's because those girls have been very good to us.
Yes.
And they can do, if they want to bring extra people to dinner party, they can do that.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's good to know because I'm telling you right now that if I had invited them to my own dinner party and they had shown up with friends or guys that I had not invited, I would have needed you to remind me, hey, remember how much they've done for us. This is okay. And I would have said, oh, yes, come on in. You're That's right. Funny. You're absolutely right.
So this is where that became potentially a little problematic in that I feel like we underordered.
This is such bullshit.
I feel like we underordered food because we ordered... And we ordered from a really good spot. You know what I mean? The food was good, but I don't...
Really good.
Really?
Via Carota.
Yeah, it's a
in
very...
In New York. If you've never heard of it, it's sublime.
Yeah, it's like very, very solid Italian food. And it's easy to end up with like a mediocre Italian meal here. There's just so much... There's so much inventory.
Mm-hmm.
That there's... But there's a few standout places, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we ordered a bunch of food, whatever. And I felt like having an additional person... made it not enough food, but that's on us. Like you always over order. Hillary always says this, you always get more than you need. And she was sort of like worried that we were in a classic situation where we had a bunch of alcohol, but no food.
Mm-hmm.
And she always says that that's the worst party to be at.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. I mean, I could not disagree more.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like no, you're just no, saying no, in that terms to be of, nice.
No, I'm not.
Really?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And here's the thing, all right? So they ordered, let's lay it out.
Okay. Okay.
This was what you guys ordered. You ordered what, three pasta entrees.
Sounds right.
You had a full chicken entree.
I believe it was a full chicken entree, but it wasn't like a rotisserie chicken.
But it was the chicken entree.
It was a large piece of chicken. It was the chicken entree,
It was
yes.
the chicken entree.
Yes.
Then you had this lovely sort of wilted greens... Sort of
a broccolini,
broccoli rob
situation. Yeah,
appetizer side, but that was bountiful.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty
good.
Yeah.
Then you had some heirloom tomato sort of onion appetizer. You also had what else? Oh,
meatballs.
The meatballs, and then you had this big bib salad.
Yeah.
Sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
which was huge.
Yeah, that was big. Thank God.
Was that everything?
No. Then there was one more side of vegetables. And that was it, though.
Okay. So that,
for seven
all of
people.
That for seven people, right? And keep in mind, three boys, four ladies.
Because
mm-hmm. That does make a difference. Objectively, women seem to eat less than men.
True.
So we are tucking in. Everybody's passing this around. It's as if, you know, it's a total dinner share situation. Mm-hmm. Like we're the Lost Boys and Hook. And it was very nice, family style. And we're eating. From the moment the food started getting passed around, both you and Hillary were worried there wasn't enough food.
That's true.
And you started talking about needing to order an additional pizza as soon as we were done with this food. We're going to order a pizza. Now, when I have someone in my ear telling me as I'm eating, we're going to order more food, it makes me hungrier. I'm not really sure why. But I think, okay, we got to get through everything.
Right.
In order to make space for this additional pizza. Food that we're going to order. Right? We're going to this is just act one. And we're going to clear everything, and then there's going to be another round. Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, make sure we cover everything. Because here's the thing. If we hadn't finished everything, then people would have said, oh, we don't need to order that pizza.
We were going to finish everything. And that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like we didn't, I feel we didn't order enough food. Maybe not by much, but by enough that I felt bad about
it. But do you see the thing is that the reason we finished everything was because I finished everything.
I don't agree with that. Yeah, no, okay, fine. That's fair.
I went around and as if there were like four dishes that still had 10 to 20% of their original amount remaining. And like
true.
A dog, I went around and finished each and every one.
That is true.
They were cold.
But dude, you like burn thousands of calories a day. Like you need to be fed.
But I'm just eating for the sake of making life easier for you guys. There's something, I have a real problem with throwing away food. And by the time that I went in to finish all of those little things, mm-hmm. they had been sitting there for tens of minutes.
That's okay.
Untouched.
Okay.
So they were not a continuation of my hunger. It was I want to make sure we've gotten our money's worth. Mm-hmm. But because I finished it and everyone was having lively conversation, you were getting up, getting drinks, all of that, people missed the fact that I was polishing off cold, crusty, sort of ossified food.
Chicken.
I think that's the right word. That's our $1 million word
for the day.
Check out ossified. That might not be the right word, but that's sort of where my brain is going with this. So you and Hillary, yeah, what do we got on
turn
that
into bone or bony
there
tissue.
It there it is.
Ossified. Cease developing.
Yeah.
10 sort points for Francis. That's like, dude, remember what's, not pardon the interruption, around the horn, dude,
yeah.
You're just
yeah.
getting points.
Yeah, getting points. Yeah. So, you know, the food was, the bins, the things were empty because I have a problem. Not because you guys didn't order enough food. But then we went and did our spots.
Yes.
My girlfriend stayed with your girlfriend to
yes.
hang.
Which is so fun. I love that.
And them. Then you came back and what happened?
So on the way back, so Hillary was like, I'm hungry. So as a nice little surprise, I ordered a pizza as I was coming back to the house. And then within 5 minutes of me getting back, the pizza arrived and we fucking smashed it.
Do you think that she was hungry because she didn't eat her fill out of some, you know, of the original meal because she saw that I was eating so much?
Definitely not. I think that, you know, like if anything, maybe she, since she, like she is a person who prepares well typically for stuff. So in a situation where it's like, is there enough food? Even if there ends up being enough food, I think that she's kind of just like, okay, I am going to go take it easy just in case type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that contributed, but dude, when we have a bunch of drinks, like ordering a pizza is not crazy. It's not something that we don't do.
Okay.
You know, so I put in the pizza order for whoever wanted it.
Well, you so often compliment me on my hosting skills.
You're
and
a great host.
Last night, the amount of food I put away made me worry that my hosting skills do not translate to being a good guest. It was rude how much I ate.
Dude, it absolutely was not.
It was borderline rude.
Dude, everybody was done.
It
myself
was
included. We were all done. And I'm happy that you feel like you ate a lot because I was worried that you would not feel that way.
I feel like I've catalyzed a late night pizza order.
No, dude, definitely not. I was drinking a lot. And we all were. And dude, Raina, so it was funny because everybody kind of switched to wine at one point and Raina kept drinking cocktails. And dude, I fucking was putting Raina to the test, dude. Because
yeah.
I made her a drink and I was like, let me know if that's too strong. She's like, oh, it's not too strong. I was like, oh, it's not. Cracks his fingers.
Yeah.
Five drinks later, she's just drinking buckets of tequila.
Oh my God.
And ice.
What were you putting in those things? They were nice, gentle pink.
I like made a sunset. Little. I made a little like I don't know if anybody here has gone to the U.S. Open, but there's this thing called the Honey Deuce. I wasn't making that, right. But like I noticed that they put a little touch of something in it to make it pink. So I was just making tequila sodas with raspberry seltzer and then a little raspberry lemonade.
That's a nice
the signature nice cocktail gentle. For the night. You know what I mean?
Gallerati household.
It's no Francis cocktail.
Oh, get out of here.
I feel insecure Francis is hosting about living up to like what Francis deems to be acceptable hosting.
It's borderline uncomfortable where I'm trying to get up and do some dishes when I'm at his place and he's like, sit the fuck down. And everyone's like freaking out. He's like, I'm like, hey, you know, he won't let me touch a drink. He's annoyed that I brought wine, you know, all these things. He's like, the debt. I still owe the debt. I'm like, get out of here, man. No, you don't.
I just want you to have a good time, dude.
We had a fantastic time.
I'm glad.
All of this is to say that we had a blast.
We had a good time.
Out of nowhere.
I know. It was a fun
Wasn't
night.
Expecting it to it be was, as fun. Yeah. I, which isn't to say I wasn't expecting it to be fun. I wasn't expecting it to be that fun.
A bash. No, totally.
Dude. It was a bash.
So it's funny. I had a couple moments. So I was like surveying the alcohol. I'm like, we have enough alcohol, right? I'm like kind of looking around. Okay. So we had a bottle of white wine in the fridge. We had a bottle of red wine in the fridge. I didn't realize it was a bottle of red wine in the fridge, but it was because it was opened, whatever. It was a nice bottle of wine too. But so everybody comes. I'm like, okay, I think we have everything. The one thing we didn't have was cold white wine. We had one more bottle of white wine and then we had ordered two more that showed up late. I threw them in the fridge, threw one in the freezer, was trying to get it there, poured Sierra a glass. And then I saw her very subtly go get a couple ice cubes.
Oh.
And it destroyed me, dude.
How rude.
No, it's not. It's rude of me for not preparing. It's
that I can't believe she did that.
No, dude, sorry if I said her name, but dude,
that's okay.
I was like, God damn it. I fucked that up. I should have been more prepared. Not the end of the world. But I gave myself a couple demerits there. I was like, boom, demerit.
You know, you gotta know that people are just happy to be hanging out with nothing, right? That group would have been happy with nothing.
Right.
Just to talk. So then from there, you added an incredible dinner from an amazing restaurant that I've never been to.
Really?
I've never had their food before.
Interesting.
But I've been meaning to.
Yeah, no, it's good for sure.
Then you added awesome cocktails. And if the temperature of the white wine was 5 degrees below her desired temperature, you know what? That people can live with that. That is what it is. I would not have had the gumption to go fetch wine cubes. Excuse me, ice cubes for the wine. I wouldn't have done that.
That's funny.
But, you know, she's particular.
No, good for her, dude. She should have what she likes. She's the best. Mm. Well, dude, I don't even know if we can talk about this right now because I think she's close by.
Let's talk about it quietly.
Okay, we have to talk about this quietly.
We're going to have to talk about this very quietly. So lean in, turn up your volume, and we promise not to shout.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a secret between me, Julio, Chris, and then all thousands of listeners of Oops the Podcast.
Well, but by the time, yeah. But anyway, so Francis walks.
This is so fucking
This is so funny. Francis had told me that he was getting Sierra U.S. Open tickets.
As an anniversary present.
And he didn't tell me it was a surprise, but that's fine. I wasn't about to like share that information. But when he cuts to the apartment, he goes, hey, dude, just a reminder.
I pulled Julio in tight.
He pulled me aside.
I had a little conference with him over the sink.
Yes, over the sink. When he got to my place, he's like, dude, just so you know, it's a surprise. So don't say anything.
Yeah, and the reason I said this was that Julio had gone to the U.S. Open the day before and had waded home through the insane rainstorm.
I'll tell that story,
which I'm excited
this.
To get to once we can bring the volume back up.
Yeah,
because that doesn't need to be a secret.
Yes, correct.
But they were talking about that your journey home through the waters of New York.
No. This is what happened. The tennis was on TV.
Oh, that's it. That was it too.
So maybe both. Okay, yeah, sorry.
It was everywhere.
Tennis was everywhere. Okay, the U.S. Open was on TV.
In our face.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, my God, Julio's going to let this slip. Right? So I pulled him aside and I said, Julio, just so you know, it's a secret. It's a surprise. Yeah. Don't mention it. He goes, I got you, man. And then he did the lips are sealed symbol. He literally ran his closed zippering fingers across his mouth as if to say, no secrets are going to be spilled out of this Ziploc bag of my mouth. Okay, fast forward 15 minutes.
Probably, yeah.
We're sitting at the table. And what did you do?
Okay, so the tennis is on TV. And at one point she goes, I would love to go. And I go, I go, well, aren't you? Oh. And then I just kind of go,
He was halfway through saying, aren't you guys going on Monday?
I literally just said, well, aren't you? And then just sort of like looked off into the distance like I was senile.
And I saw him do this and I remember thinking, there is no way that after I specifically told him not to say anything, he still came within a breath of spilling the beans.
Oh my God, dude, it was so close.
Oh, and we started laughing. And then it's one of those things where, okay, now we can bring the volume back up.
Okay.
Then it's one of those things where, you know, we're laughing at a dinner party of seven people and nobody knows why we're laughing. And then we kind of look like assholes.
Yes, for like we having have some inside a side joke. Laugh. Totally.
And this happens to us.
Yes.
A good amount when we hang out in the wild.
We can't help it. We just have too much rapport.
We talk so much to each other that we can convey messages with very little wording, and it's funny to us. And it can come off, I'm sure, as aloof, rude,
clicky,
little like 9-year-old girl kind of whispering to each other type thing. So I was impressed with your restraint to reel that back. The cover may be blown. We'll see.
I was so close to fucking that up.
Either way.
So funny, bro.
Really good. Really good night. Then we went and did our spots. And that was fun. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. So, dude, when I came back and Hillary, our girls were hanging out, we were talking about tennis. And, you know, she like I know that your girlfriend has been training and getting really good at it. She's improving and she's really into it. And she was sort of like saying things and I was sort of like trying to like have a conversation because obviously I know a shit ton about tennis, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? So she was talking about the different serves she's trying to learn. And I've become really hyper aware of the idea of like mansplaining in general.
Mm.
I'm really afraid of doing it. So
yeah,
but I feel like I'm an expert. So I really had things to share and I can clarify things that she's saying. And I felt like I was being helpful, but I wasn't sure if it started to just be annoying.
No. Listen, dude, I think the very important distinction I have come up with about mansplaining is that if the person you're telling it to doesn't know the information, it's just explaining. Why does it, it's not mansplaining.
But it can be. Like if the person doesn't know the information, like how do you know they don't know the information?
That's my point.
And that's
if you start telling someone a story or explaining something that they already know, it's their job to stop you and say, I already know this.
Right. No, that's fair.
Or I've heard this story. Or, yeah, I'm an expert. I get it.
And at
it.
That point, you're supposed to get the cue and be like, stop. Oh, got it. Okay, cool. Let's discuss. Okay, that's fair. Because, dude, she was talking about how she goes for different lessons with different people and they teach her different serves. But you're supposed to have many serves in your arsenal in theory. You're supposed to be able to hit a flat serve, a slice, a combination of both of those, a kick serve for your second serve that you can always get in. And I was trying to like explain that. And then I was like, fuck, am I mansplaining? And then I felt really bad. And she was explaining that she loved the grip on your dad's racket.
Mm-hmm.
And we were kind of talking about overgrips and everything. So I bought her grips. I bought your girlfriend a gift.
Which, by the way, grips, not to be confused with the slang term for guns, which is not what they bought. But thank you so much. She told me about it and she was so excited.
That's so. And how do you feel about that? Was that an overstep to buy someone else's girlfriend a gift?
No.
I don't think so either.
No,
I feel weird about it.
I really appreciate it. And then speaking of money, as we were in the car on our way home, I asked her, do you think I should offer to pay Julio for some of that dinner?
No.
And she said, no. And I said, you know, why not? Because you guys had ordered. And I felt like, you know, when people order, whatever. And she was like, it was a dinner party. That's the way they presented it. It was a nice thing. He will be insulted if you do. And I was like, absolutely. And okay, that's it. I didn't even think about it anymore.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Of course.
Officially.
Dude, of course. It was our pleasure. We had a great time. It was so fun to have people over.
In for this incredible meal we had. Yeah. Back to tennis.
Yes.
Actually, back to mansplaining.
Okay.
I would hope that my girlfriend has the confidence to stop you if you are explaining something that she already knows.
I think she definitely does.
I know that she does.
But I also know that she can like brush things off, it seems like. So I feel like she could also theoretically just let me rock and not get offended about it.
I just think I would hope that she wouldn't just sit there and say like, oh, I'm going to let him finish because I'm a woman and he's a man.
She's pretty direct.
No, exactly. Usually, yeah. Like that to me, you know, that's not how that should play out. And I don't think it would. But yeah, dude, I mean, you know, you were a tennis instructor.
Right.
Explaining to a new thirsty tennis player, thirsty for tips, intel, knowledge of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, that she could have soaked that up for weeks.
Dude, yeah, so that's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it was a lot of fun. I hope that people did eat enough. And, you know, instead of ordering the pizza, we could have always just fired up a bowl of Magic Spoon, dude.
You could have. I don't think anyone would have had a problem with that at that time in the evening.
I really feel like cereal is a sort of evergreen meal.
Yeah.
In a way.
It's a universal good, like Schindler's List.
it can be eaten.
Chris, don't laugh. That's a Holocaust movie.
It can be eaten for anything. It can be eaten as a meal. It can be eaten as dessert. It can be eaten as breakfast. Mm. And we really love it, dude. I mean, Magic Spoon's great. It tastes like your favorite childhood cereal. Has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. It is the whole free, keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb. You can build your own box. The available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. I feel like every friggin' time we do a read, they're adding more shit.
It makes me excited to eat.
Dude, we absolutely love it. And it's great that they have brought back the cookies and cream and maple waffle. It made them into permanent flavors per your requests. Very exciting. Go to magicspoon.com/oops to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use the promo code oops at checkout to save $5 off your order. That's magicspoon.com/oops, promo code oops to save $5. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/oops and use promo code oops, $5 off.
Love nice. It. Nailed it.
Magic motherfucking spoon.
Love the spoon, man. Glad they're back in our lives.
I know. Dude, so speaking of the US Open, man.
Yeah.
We went. So a friend of mine, this guy, Zach, who he reps tennis players. He's like, he manages actors and shit too. He has a couple people in the tournament. He brought me and our buddy Ricky Velez to the US Open. Mm-hmm. We get there. We're having honey deuces. We're drinking. We're having fun. And we're in the stadium and the stadium's closed. Now,
can I pause you? I'm so sorry.
Sure.
I've had the honey deuce. It's very sweet. Is it not?
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Okay.
I still had 5 of them. But okay. Yes, yeah. It's very sweet. It's too Sorry. Sweet to be drinking 5 of them.
Yeah. Keep going.
So we're sitting there and in Arthur Ashe Stadium is so big that there's this constant echo happening. So even though it's raining extraordinarily hard, apparently, I just thought that the sound was louder because of the stadium.
Mm.
So I thought it was normal hard rain.
He says apparently because it has a retractable roof, which they had obviously yes. closed for the rainstorm.
Correct. And this is the night where New York got smashed by Hurricane Ida, apparently. So earlier that morning, dude, I just heard, oh, it's going to rain today. No one was like, it's literally going to be a hurricane tonight.
Yeah.
I just heard hard rain tonight. It's definitely going to rain. Whatever. I'm going to the tennis. There's a roof. It's fine. Right. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was going to be a hurricane. So we leave the stadium and we're trying to get back to our car. And dude, like we try five different routes, and each one we would have to go up to our waists in water to get to the car.
That is terrifying.
Dude, our waists. So we start like walking along the side of one of the courts, like holding the fence, walking by. I look to my right, there's just a goose. There's just a fucking goose. I'm serious, dude. I posted the video. There's a goose swimming next to where I'm walking. I was like, this is crazy. So we're kind of navigating. We're trying to figure it out. Zach knows the grounds really well. So we're like walking, trying to figure it out. And at some point, and I wore shoes specifically for the weather. They had like, they were the Converse with the plastic toe. So my feet are good for now. I'm like, this is great. But eventually we get to a point halfway through the journey to the car where we just had to accept that the water is going to be above our knees. So we're now walking with water above our knees to try to get to the car.
Were you worried about stepping on something you couldn't see?
No, I was worried about a power line going down and getting
electrifying the water and killing you as Matt Damon's young son was killed in the movie Syriana.
Wow. That's a fucking pulled that out of your
back. You didn't see that coming.
Didn't see that coming. No. Jesus. But dude, yes. So I wasn't like, and during crises, I tend to be pretty calm. I don't like think about all the stuff. I'm like pretty present. And then afterward, I'm like, oh fuck. Like I think that's good. I think that that's a good quality that I have.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we get to the car, which happened to be parked underneath a bridge, which worked in our favor in this situation because the area wasn't flooded. We were worried that the car might be flooded. We're like, oh, we should be good. We take our shoes off, get in the car. We're like ready to rock and roll. As we attempt to get out of the stadium, dude, we just saw complete mayhem. Like we saw cars that tried to like drive over the center area to go back on the other side of the road, stuck. Good Samaritans out of their car, pushing the cars, trying to get them out. Like you'll make a left turn to get on the highway. Like literally we made a left to get on the Van Wyck and there was just a ravine. And past the ravine, there was like two or three cars that attempted to go through the ravine and it killed their cars. So now there's just cars in the middle of these entrances to the highway. Dude, we saw 50 cars like that, at least. This is a 10-mile drive. 50 cars.
Jesus.
The craziest moment. So like Ricky's from Queens. So this is funny. Zach driving, Ricky is from Queens, so he knows some back roads. And I am just sitting in the back being like, yo, if you guys want to pull over and bake out the car, I'm down for it. Like I wasn't adding much value to the situation. Uh-huh. So anyway, Ricky's like, we need to go on Queens Boulevard. Like that's the best way. In the center, there's like not going to be water. And that ended up being true. Cause like on the outer lanes, they're just completely flooded. There are cars underwater, dude. I can't remember the last time I saw that. No. Hurricane Sandy.
Maybe. But that's the thing. People underwater. Referencing it. I don't remember this happening in Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, no, in like Tribeca and stuff. Like I remember the people I was staying with, the guy's Jeep Grand Cherokee was underwater.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Anyway, I saw cars underwater while we're driving in the center. A moment finally came where this guy is outside of his car talking like he's just decided he's going to be the guy. No one is going past this part because there's just too much water and there's nowhere to go. You can't go. Because people were driving the wrong way on roads. Like we did that too. We would drive onto the other side of the road to avoid the water with oncoming traffic coming.
Jesus.
But everybody knew at this point, they're like, all right, this is a little bit of a puzzle. We expect cars to be coming.
And people are going slowly, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So it's okay. We're all working together. There are some accidents. There's some dead cars, whatever. But we finally end up in this situation where Queens Boulevard, it's like the inner lanes, the outer lanes. You can't really go in and out between the two except for specific points. So now there are fences on both sides of us. And there are cars behind us. There's nowhere to go. And we're like, are we just going to sit here for a few hours or are we going to try? We're like, fuck it. We're going to try. Mm. So what Zach does, dude, there's a curb and next to the curb is a guardrail. And there's probably 5 inches of the area. He puts the left side of the car up on the curb and we start driving along the curb.
Wow.
With two wheels in the water, two wheels on the side. And this is a car that's low to the ground too. So we're like, we're fucked, dude. Like the car is fucked. Finally, the curb ends. And now we're just like behind this taxi. And Ricky's like, bro, stay behind the taxi. Get in the whatever it's called. What is it called?
Get in the wake.
So now we're just like directly behind this taxi in the wake. We get through it. We fucking get over the Queensboro Bridge. We're back in the city. The water isn't as bad. And we just think we're the shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, fuck yeah. But dude, it was surreal. It was like, what a crazy.
That's scary. Night. That is really insane and scary.
Scary. And dude, Hillary was sleeping through it all. And the night before, this crazy thing happened where this guy came over to our friend's house. She went to bed early. The guy ends up fainting. Ambulances come. Police come. All this shit. She's sleeping for that, too. She just slept through back-to-back crises.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wish I could sleep as well as she does.
So I don't know that she necessarily sleeps well. Like, she wakes up in the middle of the night, but she goes down initially. And back-to-back nights, she had no idea. She even called me half asleep. She's like, where are you? I was like, oh, I'll be back soon.
Yeah, boy, do I have a story for you. Yeah. That's what you said to her.
I didn't say shit. But
the whole time you were talking about Queens Boulevard, I was thinking of that fictitious movie made by Vincent Chase in the Entourage series. The movie was called Queens Boulevard.
Dude, you want to know what's funny about that? It felt like a movie plot, because earlier in the night, Zach was talking about that podcast that Doug Ellen does about Entourage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, like, so we were talking about Entourage.
No way.
And then all of a sudden we're like, we got to get back to Queens Boulevard.
Yeah, I am Queens Boulevard.
Literally, yeah. Dude. What a wild time. So I hope none of our listeners died that night.
People died, man. It was bad. It was scary.
I walked barefoot into my apartment building on the street of New York.
Jesus.
Dude, it was crazy.
Do you, you know what would be, in my mind, the vehicle for those, when that happens, flooding? A jet ski.
Yeah, no, totally.
You know,
totally
a jet ski
would have fully,
because they don't go deep in the water. Yeah. And you don't need much water to get around on a jet ski.
It would have worked.
And sometimes I think maybe I should keep a jet ski in my apartment
just
in case we need a getaway vehicle. That's your getaway vehicle. Keep it gassed up, right? That's your helicopter when you can't helicopter.
Dude, that's funny. I mean, you live close enough to the water too, that it's not crazy. Get to the jet ski.
I'd love to have a jet ski in my linen closet. I think that'd be a pretty, lots of utility in that.
Oh, baby.
Well, I'm glad you got home safe, man. That's a harrowing tale.
Yeah, it was crazy, man. Well, dude, it's funny. Like, you guys are celebrating your anniversary at the beginning of next week. So are we. Like, ours is roughly around that time. It's just funny how, like, is that the specific date?
September 4th.
Okay, yeah. Ours is like September, I guess, 8th or 10th. We don't know specifically, but like we are celebrating. Actually, no, we're celebrating the following week. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's also your 3-year anniversary. Yeah.
Crazy.
What do you think? What do you think the expectations are for that?
Well, it's funny, man, because Hillary said that she felt really bad listening to our episode when I said that if I proposed, there was only a 30% chance that she would say yes. She's like, I felt really sad for you. She's like, you really think I was like, it's that low?
Well, that's comforting.
I thought so too. I was like, wow.
That's buoying.
And she also laughed at that moment because you said that your girl thought you were going to propose in the hotel room. And then I told a story about Hillary going, what are you doing? And we never addressed that. We never talked about it, but she was laughing. She's like, I was dying listening because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
So I guess, dude, so to your question, the expectation is changing for sure. Like,
wow.
It's going from being a new relationship to being like, me proposing isn't crazy.
It sounds like if you did, based on her saying that, she would say yes.
Right? It is sounding that way.
So you're now in the strike zone, which is a nice place to be in, but it very quickly can go from being, wow, I feel like, okay, I've got a yes, I've got it here. This is an affirmative relationship, to it not being funny.
Bases
or nice.
Loaded, full count.
Yeah. Of like, why haven't you
said it?
And right. You know, the sense of urgency. This is something that happened last night at the dinner where we were talking about podcasts, obviously, and I don't even remember. We were talking about hours and sort of what we talk about, and Hillary chimed in and said, you guys talk about proposing all the time. And my girlfriend went, oh, because she doesn't listen to the podcast, but she doesn't know that I just told the story about the champagne glasses in the hotel.
Right, she probably thinks
we're on here plotting and scheming.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, I almost want to be like, just so you know, it's all hypothetical. There's no concrete plan in place.
Well, dude, I know you rave about going to therapy. I, in the past too, have ever had really good positive experiences with it. And I, that's why we're pretty excited that we're working with a new company called Talkspace,
mm-hmm.
which basically allows you to connect with a therapist digitally and do what you would do normally, but just via your device.
Yeah, it's a really cool company. I was sort of checking them out. And, you know, I think one of the hardest things about getting into therapy and starting therapy is finding the right therapist.
Totally.
Because there are so many options.
I know.
And you don't know based on Yelp reviews who you're going to connect with. And you want to get help as fast as possible. So it's tough to sort of shop around and try different therapists. But Talkspace actually makes it pretty easy.
Dude, totally. And yeah. and you can send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the app. Schedule live video sessions with your licensed therapist from anywhere. You know, whether you're experiencing depression, anxiety, any other problems, Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform to help you sort through any issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of licensed therapists are there available to match with. Talkspace therapists are experts in dozens of specialties. So you can start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code OOPS. It's $100 off when you use the code OOPS at Talkspace.com. Check it out.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing to have there, I think.
Yeah, dude, totally. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's a good place to be, man. It's so funny, dude. Like during, wait, what? What's the word?
Well, we woke up and we had a little bit of a rough morning.
You guys did?
Yeah.
What happened?
You know that I'm no good with, we've talked about this before, but let's reopen this can.
Okay.
So her alarm went off at maybe 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waking up early this week. I've been waking up at 7 every morning.
Wow.
Because I've just had a lot of stuff that I've had to do and I need the extra time. But today, you know, late last night, I had a late spot. I didn't go on until 12.
Oh, wow.
And it was supposed to be 11:15. Show got bumped. So I went on at like 12, got off stage at 12:20. Didn't get home till 1. We had a bunch of drinks at your place.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a heavy weeknight. And I have a huge day and a huge weekend. Today, you know, I've got a lot of work to do. We have to record the pod. I like to be fresh days that we record. Then I have to have dinner. We're having dinner with her aunt and cousin. Then I have 3 spots tonight. Tomorrow I have to go to on the road to Springfield, mm-hmm. Massachusetts for a show. And then on Sunday we have a wedding in New York City.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then on Monday we're going to the US Open. So it is a lot of stuff coming up. Yeah.
September tends to be a really busy month here.
Yeah.
Probably just for everybody in general, but in New York specifically, the weather's so nice.
Exactly.
It just is a really popping time.
So I was looking to sleep maybe to 8:30 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I needed a little extra, you know, coming in late, all that. Needed to catch up and ready myself for this weekend. Sure enough, her alarm goes off at 7:30. And what does she do?
What?
She snoozes.
Yes.
No movement.
Snoozerino.
Now, her alarm goes off. She hits, you know, delay or snooze. I don't know what her snooze interval is.
Mm-hmm.
So not knowing when the alarm is going to go off again is what prevents me from being able to go back.
Isn't it always 9 minutes? Why is it 9 minutes and not 10? We can talk about that
she
later.
Might have, but she may have done multiple alarms.
Got it.
And I don't know that.
I feel like that's a girl thing. My girl does that too. I don't do that. I set one alarm. Yeah.
And when it goes off, I get out of bed.
Interesting.
But that's out of respect for my bedmate.
Oh, interesting.
Whoever's alarm goes off first has the obligation, in my opinion, of getting out of bed.
Interesting, dude. Yeah, we don't do that. I feel bad now. I torture my girl with this. Like, mine is, first my alarm was bands that make her dance. Bands that make, and she hears that and she's like, are you fucking serious? And it just keeps going off because I'll snooze sometimes too. And then I'll play jokes on her. She's like, God, I hate that song. Let's get down to business. You know that song? So I've made that my alarm now. Just to like fuck with her.
Let's get down to business. I'm gonna hit the snooze one more time. What is this?
Okay, so sorry, yeah. I interrupted you.
No, I cannot go back to sleep if I don't know when what her plan is. Is she gonna get up with the next alarm? Is she getting out of bed? And so
you're sitting there. I'm lying there.
She is now luxuriating in the, you know, the bed with her fucking mask on. And no movement. There's no sign that the day has begun. And then you just ask yourself, well, why did you set the alarm for that time? Right. Why didn't you just give yourself more time? Mm-hmm. Do you enjoy this half awake sort of limbo moment of, does that help you wake up?
Right.
Do you?
I don't necessarily enjoy it, but sometimes I just can't get up, dude. And like a night like this, a night like that, like today I set my alarm for 8:30 and I got up at 9.
Got it. Are you,
Does
the alarm go off and then you have your phone and you're just goofing around on your phone for half an hour?
No. I mean, no. Once, if I'm resetting my alarm or snoozing or whatever, I am not looking at my phone. I'm like going back to bed for 9 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just can't, I can't live like that.
I mean, yet your system sounds more efficient.
But that, listen, dude, I'll set my alarm earlier than hers and it will go off and there will be days where I wish that I could snooze or I want to snooze, mm-hmm. but I don't.
Right.
Because I don't want to fuck with her. I want her to get as much consolidated sleep as possible.
Very nice of you.
This doesn't seem to be a two-way street with her.
Okay. Got it.
And she knows that it's not something that is, you know, something that I do well with, but I think sometimes she just can't help herself. She's sleepy. She goes back to sleep. Whatever. It's fine. I'm the asshole here. I get that.
But why is it not a two-way street then? What do you mean? Like she
will have her alarm go off first and not get out of bed.
Right.
Whereas if my alarm goes off first, I automatically get out of bed and right. close the door as quietly as possible right. and then leave the bed chamber in peace. You know what I mean?
Got it. Yes.
I am as silent as I possibly can in exiting, in removing myself from this sleep haven.
So was this the first day you addressed your...
No, it happened earlier this week too.
Oh, okay.
So this is the second time. So I'm lying there waiting for her to get up or to, you know, whatever. She doesn't. So I realize, okay, well, I have to get up because I'm not going to be able to... I'm too stressed now, not knowing when her alarm's going to go off again. How much more time... There's something about knowing, like if I knew my alarm was going to go off again in 20 minutes, then I would be able to kind of catch a few more moments of sleep. Right. I'd be able to fall back asleep.
Well, you just don't know. No control.
I have no idea what her intervals are.
Right.
So I can't. And I don't know what her intentions are if she's going to get out of bed. So I just get out of bed. And now I'm angry. I'm starting my day mad.
Yeah.
And well, that's never how you want. But wrong I go upstairs. The then she comes up. But she reads my energy incredibly well. She knows that I am, something's off. Something's not right. And she said, you know, are you mad? And I was like, no, I'm fine. But I said it like that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm exhausted and I feel like a shell because of this. And she goes, is it because of the alarm situation? I was like, yes. And she goes, okay, that's why you're mad. And I was like, whatever, yeah. But we're still okay. And then she's in the kitchen and I'm on the couch. And I don't even know where this came from. But she said something like, actually, you know what? I'm not going to tell this story. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to get us all the way there. No, you can keep all of the other stuff about that, but the end here is she said something that was like very sort of like offhand about like about having children that and the timeline of that, which I did not see coming at all, and it was kind of a joke, But at that moment, it like I sat right up and I was like, wait, what? And it was her bringing out the big guns.
Wow.
Yeah. And she definitely won that fight. And not even a fight, because soon after we had our coffees in our hands.
And what kind of coffee were you drinking?
Brooklyn Roasting Company.
Oh, yeah.
Was the only thing we drank. Dude, I was drinking the Mocha Java. That's the one they sent me. I think it's called the Mocha Java. It's the mocha one they have. And it is so good.
It's really good. I've had that one
the
too.
Have you had the mocha one?
Yeah, we have.
It's
that.
Like, it's a little chocolatey, as I guess mocha always does. It's not mocha. There's right. no chocolate in right. it, but it's the beans themselves are like mocha flavored or whatever. And it is rich.
It's really good.
And smooth. And delicious. Oh,
were you guys able to de-escalate after you had your first totally, couple sips yeah. of Joe?
Well, we went out and we sat on the deck, and you know, the sun at 8 a.m. right now in this temperature. Man. The last couple of days it's just been absolutely glorious getting into fall weather.
And New York, like, it's very rare to have a day that's hot without unbearable humidity. It just takes a natural disaster, apparently.
Yeah.
Because the 2 days following that crazy storm have been crisp and beautiful, and it feels like you're in fucking San Diego or something. 74,
yeah.
dry.
It's amazing. It's the perfect weather for a nice cup of Joe, and we love the Brooklyn Roasting Company much. Get on board. They have an incredible coffee of the month subscription club. Use promo code OOPSBEANS. You'll get 5% off your order. Also, check out their incredible coffee peanut butter, which we always talk about. Ooey so gooey good. Golly glop. It's incredible. Go to brooklynroasting.com, promo code OOPSBEANS, 5% off. Enjoy it.
Dude, I love it.
Oh, this is what it, you know what? I'm going to tell the whole story. I'm going to tell the whole story.
Okay. Everyone's so psyched.
I'm going to tell the whole story. Well, because now I finally just remembered exactly what she said, and it's funny. So it's worth telling. So there's a little bit of steam between us, right? There's a little bit of steam, and you know, I'm lying on the couch and I have a moment of self-awareness where I'm like, you know what? I gotta chill out. So I offered a peace offering, which is that I said, you know, at least these wake-ups are training. I feel like you're training me on how to be a father of a young baby. By like constantly getting me up at different hours, having to get out of bed when I don't want it, whatever.
Open a can of worms.
And she goes, well, you've got a lot of training left to do. At least 8 more years of this, and I'm not getting any younger. And I'm not getting any younger. Meaning like, she said something like, you need at least 8 more years of training. Meaning like, you're not getting out of bed the right way. I don't know why I'm explaining the joke so much. You guys got it. But then she went, I'm not getting any younger.
Oh man.
And I was like, damn, ouch.
Dude, there's something piercing about that sort of comment. Like, even I've heard the comment, like, I don't know. Like for example, if Hillary's family makes some kind of comment that makes the assumption that we're going to end up together,
mm-hmm.
and then she'll kind of be like, she'd be like, that's like a good thing that they think that. And I just like, if I don't say anything, she goes, why do you like not think we're gonna? She's like, if you're planning on not, like, let me know now, because these are like my best years. Some version of that. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah,
that's good.
But there's something about the idea of like, I'm not getting any younger, or these are my good years, or like what, anything sort of like that. That's just kind of like, oh shit. Like, you just feel this immediate pressure, even if it's said in jest or in passing,
mm-hmm.
you're just kind of like, oh God, that's like super profound or something.
Yeah. Well, there was this hint in this joke of, you know, her saying you're not ready to be a father,
mm-hmm.
which is an incredible, that is a very cutting.
It's a burn
moment
for sure, dude.
And I don't necessarily think she's even wrong. But to hear it from someone else stops you in your tracks. It's a humbling thing to hear. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But by the way, you know, if teen mom taught me anything, it's that I could do it. These teenagers on MTV that end up having children and are, you know, they don't kill the kid,
right?
They pass,
right?
For better or for worse, they pass the test. I'm in a better position than those goofballs.
Potentially.
Those teenagers on MTV.
And dude, how many times have you heard this phrase? I don't know if this is just a thing in my circles, but like the amount of times I've heard friends of the family or even family members say, you're never ready. Nobody's ever ready.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They always say that.
I think you'd be fine, dude.
Yeah, you just adapt.
I think you'd be fine. That's pretty exciting. Mm. Guys, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, fill in the blanks here. If I were in a concert right now and I said, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I'd then turn the microphone to all of you sitting in the stadium and you would all yell, Anchor, Anchor. And then you'd say, go to anchor.fm to download the software where you could host your very own podcast, see all the best analytics. You could see it in a way that was really user-friendly and nice and not too technical and industry jargony. It's a way that any person can look at it and be like, ooh, that's pretty. And also it's our podcast. And there's no minimum listenership required to advertise and monetize. So you can immediately have ads when you hit the ground running. It's really exciting, really spectacular. If you want to start your very own podcast, anchor.fm, download it now. Dude, I have a quick question and then I want to do an email. Hillary and I were waiting for a ferry in Greece, right? And we were killing time. We had nothing to do. We suddenly decided that we were going to do a thumb war.
Oh,
and
that's cute.
You know, people have different versions of the way they do these silly games, like rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Some people do rock, paper, scissors, says, shoot, which is insane.
Yeah, those things don't talk.
rock, paper, scissors, says, shoot. What the fuck is that? Anyway, the way she thumb wars blew me away. So how do you, when you thumb war, can we thumb war?
Let's thumb war.
So how do you typically begin a thumb war?
One, two, three, four. I declare a thumb war. Does she go bow?
Dude, this, yes. Fight,
click, clack.
Do you know about that?
Well, you know, there were some kids that were a little fancier than others. That's an upper class move.
So yours is even crazier than hers. Hers is kiss, bow, begin. Yours, kiss, bow, what the fuck?
It was bow, kiss, fight, click, clack.
Oh my God.
And then within 3 seconds, someone had cheated and used their helper.
The sneaker attack.
The sneaker. And then you're just like trying to rip your arm away and, you know, you can't because the person's a bully.
Yeah, that ruined the game. That move ruins the game.
There's no integrity to thumb wars.
There isn't. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that's so funny that you that she did that, because to me that speaks of a classy upbringing. Yeah.
My humble beginnings, I never got that far.
Yeah, you and the neighbor, the roughshod kids around the neighborhood on their rusty bikes were coming in and just diving right into thumb wars with no respect for the preamble
to
the thumb war.
Diving right in, dude. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Dude, so we have some funny emails.
Excellent.
That we could enjoy here.
Please.
Either do one or two, depending on
how much. I liked what that person said where you say often on the podcast, you say, well, I've got something for you. And I say, please. Did you know that? Do you know that I do that? I don't even realize that I'm doing these things. That's a nice little thing that we do.
You both do it both ways. Yeah.
That's fun, dude.
Do you say please? Is that what he says?
I don't think he says please, but he says something along those
something
lines.
Julio.
Yeah, not as polite. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Bring us these emails.
Okay. We'll do. So we have, there's one.
What positive vibes on the podcast today, huh?
Dude, wait, one second. I just want to bring up, you were bragging about hanging out with Julio for like 25 minutes at the beginning, and I'm not okay with that. I just wanted to bring up, I was hanging out with Julio for 12 hours on Saturday, so I just had to get my 2 cents in there. And we hung out till 4 a.m., and you would have passed out by 1:30, so I just had to slight you there. Sorry.
Holy smokes.
Chris fucking with the fire, dude. Boy, coming in hot. Yeah.
Enjoy your Christmas bonus from Julio. I just decided to take the year off.
Chris came in hot, dude.
You know, these guys are always posting these buddy pictures together and then they tag me in them like an asshole.
Dude, you want to honestly know why? Because if I post a picture with Chris, I get like 20 replies that are like, dude, Francis is going to be pissed, dude.
Yeah, that's, you know, so what? Funny. It's okay. Okay. It's fine. When they're hanging out, I'm sleeping, and that's what's going to make me stronger.
Sorry. I just had to humble you really quick. Make
that
sure
was humbling. You know. I feel assaulted right now.
Guys, settle down, guys.
Shell shocked.
Settle down.
Right,
guys.
As I was saying positive vibes on the podcast, Chris was like, wait a second.
It's probably not a good time for that.
Chris came in hot, dude. Yeah. Okay, so we have a couple. Let's do. We have two like short ones. Let's do those. So this is one that is actually something worth discussing that is a very interesting. So here we go. So I recently moved to a high rise and my building has a very nice gym and has everything I personally need to get a good workout in. There seems to be a very common theme though. Every single time I use the gym, there are one to two individuals with horrific BO. Like, is this because it's a technically a free gym? Would it be any different at a Lifetime or a Crunch Fitness? I don't know who's to say. Here's my real debacle. Do I have the right to say something if there's a real stinky guy ruining my workout experience by getting his BO all up in my space? If so, how would you possibly relay that without making it sound utterly horrible? Thanks in advance.
Oh, man. This is a tricky one. I don't think you can say anything.
I agree.
You're
at the gym.
The problem with body odor is that people who have bad body odor don't know that they have it. Because for some reason, we don't smell ourselves.
It's such an odd thing.
By the way, I remember learning in chemistry class in high school. I think the teacher told me that humans have become so adapted and accustomed to our own smell that we don't understand how bad we actually smell. And that it's entirely possible that we all carry an absolutely horrific odor. But because we're so accustomed to it over the course of, you know, millennia, that we don't smell it anymore.
So animals might think we smell disgusting.
It is possible.
Whoa. The same way that like we think cows smell disgusting, they don't think each other smell disgusting.
Yes, exactly.
Wow, dude, that's crazy. Whoa, bro.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I hope I have that right, because that is a very, very back recessed library row of my mind that I pulled that factoid from. And I feel like I might have totally taken liberties with it. But,
that's,
you know,
wild, dude.
I do think that sounds, there was something like that.
That's crazy.
But there's definitely truth where, you know, that people that have really bad body odor, they don't seem offended by their own smell, right? Because it's not as if they woke up one morning smelling horrifying.
So here's the thing, though.
That grew over time.
Here's the thing. That is true. However, I do notice sometimes in the gym, it's a little bit, there's things that make it more prominent. One of them being, you're wearing like a cutoff shirt or something. You're wearing stuff where like your smelly things are out. But also I think that there's this point of view that I'm going to the gym, I'm going to get gross. Why would I shower before I go to the gym? And maybe like you really needed a shower before you came to the gym. I don't know about you, dude. Like I will sometimes shower before I go to the gym.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be all gross and groggy and like, you know,
I like to start fresh. And then see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that honestly, the Lifetime or Crunch comment, the only reason why it might be less prevalent is because there is more space in those places and you can get away from the BO guy. Whereas your apartment building gym is inevitably probably pretty small.
That's a good thought. It's also possible that people are more self-conscious in going to a public gym. So they do clean up or put on deodorant for that. Whereas if you're just taking the elevator down to the gym in the building.
Right.
That's the kind of roll out of bed, go, you know,
that's very true too.
Workout thing. Yeah.
That's very true too.
What if you go passive aggressive and get one of those nose clincher things and walk into the gym and then just be like, oh, God.
That's pretty funny. I don't think you can say something to someone that lives in your building.
I don't either. It's like, sorry that because you can just be like, this is just how I smell, dude. And then what are you going to be like, dude, no, but you smell extra bad. You should do something about that. I'm just saying, dude.
Has anyone ever told you, you know, a stranger, has anyone ever said to you, you smell bad?
No. Has anyone ever said it to you?
Yeah, one time.
When? How?
I was coming home from Oktoberfest. Have I told you this story?
No.
Oh, my God.
This is great.
So nice.
Cherry on top.
I was a junior in college, and I went abroad my fall semester to this town called Menton in France. It's the last town on the border between France and Italy.
Got it.
So I would run to the Italian border sign, smack that, and then
come back. That's so fun.
It's kind of cool.
Did you ever step over just to play with fire a little bit?
No, because they had like a toll, you know, customs booth and all that. But it was a beautiful run. It was on the French Riviera. We were
sick.
20 minutes from Monaco, 45 minutes from Nice, all that. It's great. And it was this cool place called Sciences Po, which is Sciences Politiques. It's like the political science university in France. Their main campus is in Paris, but they had a satellite campus in this town on the French Riviera, which focused entirely on studies of the Middle East, mm-hmm. which is what I was studying in school. So I went there and focused on this, which was cool. I mean, all the students, I was the only American. Most of the students were from like Algeria, Morocco, Lebanon, Syria,
Francophone
Egypt,
countries, mostly.
Saudi Arabia. You know, it's like a lot of kids from the Arab world. Yes, also from North Africa, but Arab world whose parents wanted their kids to get a Western education.
Yes.
But with a focus within, you know, somewhat of their own world. So it was really cool. I had a good time. But I would also take the weekends. I had two very close friends who were studying abroad in Florence, and we would meet up in various European cities for all kinds of fun activities. Yeah. We went to Oktoberfest, obviously, in Munich. And, you know, have you ever been?
I've been to Munich. I have not been to Oktoberfest.
Oh, man.
But I've been to the beer gardens. Like, I can conceptualize what
Oktoberfest
like.
Is like. I would never go again. I had a great time, but it takes years off your life.
Just drinking 30-ounce beers.
Dude, the first day we went, yeah, and the beers are like 9%.
They're fucking huge, yeah.
And they're Stein, so it's 33 ounces. It's basically, you know, three cans of Bud Light is 36 ounces. This is not far off from that in terms of volume, mm-hmm. but it is the beer is twice as strong as a Bud Light. So one Stein at these tents equates to almost six Bud Lights.
Jesus, dude.
Right?
Right, just because of the alcohol percentage,
the
right?
The alcohol percentage, in terms of how much it fucks you up.
A Bud Light's like 5%?
Yeah, 4.5%, 5%.
Dude, yeah, it's literally six beers. Holy shiz.
Just
dude.
About six beers. So, one, you order one of these things. Now, lit, everyone warns you. They do warn you. I mean, even the flight attendant on the plane in that I took to Munich was like, you're going to Oktoberfest. Just know the beer is a lot stronger.
You're going to get tuned up, kid.
But the first day you get there, you're so excited. You're so amped. You've heard so much about this incredible beer festival that you go to the tents early to get your place. We go to the Hofbräu tent. We're there at 10 a.m. We order our first round of Steins. I'm trying to go slowly, but all the tables around us, there's 10,000 people in this tent.
People are in lederhosen, yeah. Just fucking knocking back these.
And they're all from different European countries, the Netherlands, Italy. You know,
yeah.
It's so cool, and everyone's got some sort of homage to their home country. That's they're singing fine. Their songs from they're drinking songs from their country, and you're at the neighboring table, and they raise a glass to you, and everyone starts chugging, and you're like, ah, fuck it. So you start chugging. You don't chug the whole Stein, but you chug a third of it, which is two beers.
Damn.
And in the first hour and a half that we were there, I think I had three Steins because I was so excited.
Damn.
So in an hour and a half, I had 18 beers. Which is like too much for me. And
it's too much for anyone except like Andre the Giant.
Yeah. Dude. By 11:30, I was in trouble. And I have this
AM?
Yeah. I have Jesus. This self eject autopilot where I I know that I'm past my limit. There's nothing I can do. I'm not gonna recover. So I need to go find a bed. And I leave without telling anybody goodbye. We were staying in the basement bedroom of one of my dad's like business friend's daughter's apartment. And she's she was at work mm-hmm. with, and she's like a respectable person with a husband. And, you know, they had let me and my two friends just crash in one basement apartment, bedroom that had an air mattress and then one regular mattress. So I call her while she's at work. And I'm like, I'm in trouble. I need to come home. She's like, all right, where are you? I'll come pick you up. And I just looked up and saw the street signs.
You're like, the tree next to the big tree.
She leaves work, comes and grabs me, brings me home. I instantly threw up in the sink. She was like, please don't throw up in the sink. Throw up in the toilet. I'm like, noted. And then I passed out from like noon until 6 in the morning the next day.
Oh my God, bro.
Yeah. So I missed the whole second half of the first day of Oktoberfest. But by the time that I woke up, I was so well rested that I was very excited for round two. And we went back to the tents on Saturday, but I made a vow to pace myself. So on this day, I was like, I was drinking a Stein every, you know, every 2 hours. It was warm by the time I was finishing it. I was alternating waters, making sure I ate, all of that, really pacing myself. And by the time like 9 p.m. rolled around, I was like, okay, well, now I can sort of take the governor off a little bit. And sort of picked it up. This incredible band in the middle of the tent is playing all these incredible drinking folk songs. We're drinking. We're having a great time. The tents close down, and we go to a nightclub where there was this 80s cover band singing the Baywatch theme song, and the lead singer was shirtless in a red bathing suit with one of those like lifeguard buoys. That's
they
on
love the
rope.
Hoff there, dude.
It was incredible, dude. And we're having a great time. We go back late at night. We crash. The next morning, I have my early flight from the Munich airport, which is an hour outside of the center of town. I get picked up by this old woman taxi driver. She's driving a Mercedes E320 taxi. Fuck, right? In Europe, you get these sick nice cars taxis, that are taxis. Yeah. And we're very late for the flight. It's a Ryanair flight, so it's like general admission boarding. There's you know, you've no, they're not gonna wait for you.
You can't check you, like, you have to fucking check your carry-on.
She goes 130 miles an hour on the Autobahn to get me to the airport,
which is normal
for
everybody.
We are
listening.
Flying, by the way, keep in mind, I'm now wearing the same clothes that I've been wearing for 2 days, basically same boat shoes. I used to wear leather boat shoes that with no socks. I've been eating, you know, bratwurst and beer for 3 days.
Gross.
I make the flight barely, and I've sprinted through security. I've sprinted to the gate. I'm the last person on the plane. I get on the plane. Obviously, it's, as I said, general admission boarding. It's like EasyJet, Ryanair, these budget airlines in Europe. There's no seat assignment. The only seat left is in the back row next to the bathroom, sandwiched between these two very overweight women. And they're heavily perfumed. I'll never forget it.
I love that.
They're just,
I love heavy perfume, dude.
Yeah, but the smells did not complement one another.
Oh, okay.
They created this sort of vortex.
A versus battle of fucking perfume.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the MC being like, "All right, round two. What do you got?"
Hilarious.
I sit down between them. There's no space. There's no leg room. I'm sweating from having sprinted. I'm sweating out all the toxins of the last 48, 72 hours, whatever. I pass out, and we take off. I don't know at what point in the flight the woman wakes me up, but she shakes me awake, and she goes, "I'm sorry, but do you have a towel or something? Because you smell very, very bad."
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I was like, "Oh my God, I don't know what to do or say." I go, I get my a clean shirt out of my carry-on, or, you know, a cleaner shirt.
Oh my God. Dude.
And I go into the bathroom and change, and I'm like,
"What does she mean a towel? What were you going to do with a towel?"
I was sweating in my sleep.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
There was no air flow.
Dude.
And I'm, by the way, I'm super nauseous too.
You
everything I can
terrible.
Do not to, to throw up. This is like God, one of those hellish,
terrible,
hellish flights where you convert from being drunk to hungover mid-flight.
And like, as if your mouth isn't dried up enough from being 30,000 feet. Now you're hungover.
Yeah.
Dude, that's
they're not
horrible.
Serving water, tea. There's nothing. There's
Ryanair,
no
nothing.
So we have a late, by the way, we connect in Zurich in Switzerland on the way back to Nice. I get off the plane. I run to the men's bathroom. I will never forget this. I threw up in the bathroom and there was blood in my vomit.
That's terrifying.
And this is why I'm like, I'll never go back to Oktoberfest.
Yeah. I mean, bro, you were also what, 23?
Not even 21.
Dude, yeah, you'd be able to handle it.
Now. You handle it.
But you have PTSD. I guess.
But you have PTSD.
I got it.
That's something you can only do at that age.
Dude, totally.
So yeah, that was my experience at Oktoberfest. That's when I was told you smell very bad by a total stranger.
Dude, savage.
Yeah.
Well, dude, oops, the motherfucking podcast, baby.
That's it. Yeah.
Another wild
part of
that ride.
Long rambling journey into the past there. I omitted a few details from that story, that are kind of offensive, but you know, for another time, for sure.
You may have, I think you may have covered, you covered like a different angle of that story.
Well, I almost got arrested for trying to steal the Steins, which we were throwing over the...
You have told that story.
I have told that
and
story.
And what's the episode called again? It's the episode with Graham K where we talk about European trips. That was actually one of our best episodes that we didn't expect to be so good.
Yeah.
It's way back there.
Go give that a listen. Find the Graham K episode.
Graham K episode. You got anything coming up?
Albany and Hartford, Connecticut. I think it's October 19th and 20th. Tickets for that on francisellis.com.
Very cool. I'm going to have some stuff coming up. And I also am doing a really cool show for the New York Comedy Festival that is taking shape. So once the details are ironed out, I'll let you guys know about that.
Oh,
cool.
Definitely
come. It's going to be dope. Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Hell yeah. Oops, the podcast. Chris, anything?
That's episode 32 if you want to go listen to it.
Got it. Hell yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Bye.